Hello, this is Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb of VisionarySoul.com, author of The Gift of ADHD and Listening to Depression, for my new program, The Sweet Spot, at PsychJourneyPodcast.com. Tune in weekly to find where your passion meets your purpose. This show is committed to helping you find, embrace, and live in your sweet spot. Today, I'll be interviewing Brenda Anderson, who is the author of Playing the Quantum Field, How Changing Your Choices Can Change Your Life. Brenda Anderson is Vice President for Global Business Development at Smith Buckland, the world's largest association management company. She also serves as CEO of the Society of Incentive and Travel Executives, a global society with members from 82 countries. She lectures internationally and lives in Chicago. Welcome, Brenda.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I wanted to jump right in. I think one of the most interesting things in your book is you talk about the bad mood lifestyle. And you write that bad moods become bad days, which become bad weeks, which become bad months and years, on and on and on. Now, if someone's listening to this right now and they're in a bad mood themselves, what would you say to them or how would you guide them to change it around?
Well, first, acknowledge that you're in a bad mood. I think a lot of what makes trying to move out of that difficult is we repress it, we push it away, we set it aside, and we say, I'm just going to overpower it. And being in a bad mood is okay as long as you understand how it's affecting your other choices and your frame of reference on what you do in your life. Think of all of our thoughts that we have as operating at a particular energy level or frequency. When you're in a bad mood frame of mind, you're operating in real low frequency, low energy thinking. And those thoughts become a beacon that attract more of that. So if you're not acknowledging it, you're going to continue to just operate in more low energy choices. Whereas if you just say, okay, this is really bad. I'm in a foul mood. I'm affecting the people around me, and I can tell that the other choices I'm making in my day are only making it worse. So step one is to say, all right, hey, it's okay, I'm in a bad mood, but let me neutralize it. And once you move to neutral, then you can make other choices that will break you out of the black hole that you might be in.
Wow. And so can you talk a little bit about some of the specific strategies you have in the book? I know one of the things you say is suspending judgment. So again, let's say a person's in a bad mood and, you know, the day got off to the wrong start. And one of the things you talk about for changing that energy is suspending your judgment. How do you do that? And why does that turn things around?
That's a really good question. But think about how we're trained. We're trained to think analytically. Businesses and government hierarchies are very much, you know, focused on the literal and on what you see and what you can touch. So it's real easy to fall into making judgments, hundreds of judgments, any time in your day. Let me tell a story that will give our listeners an idea of how you can apply this and how easily it happens. A friend of mine had a sofa that she just loved, and she'd never spent so much on a piece of furniture in her life. And so Gillian got this sofa, really enjoyed it, but then she moved, and her new home could not accommodated, that the sofa was just too big. So she stored it in her garage because she couldn't part with it, and she just kept it there. And one day, her contractor was over doing some work, and he said, hey, what are you going to do with that sofa? And she said, well, I suppose I should get rid of it. I don't know. I haven't figured it out. Well, she got home from work that day and drove into her garage, and the sofa was gone. So she was just shocked, and she called the contractor and said, Did you leave the garage door open? Someone's taken my sofa. And he said, oh, one of the delivery trucks came by to make a delivery, and he offered to take it off your hands, so I thought you'd be happy. And I said, yes. Well, Gillian was really upset because that meant so much to her. And so she immediately thought, I've got to get it back. I've got to get it back. And so she told the contractor, call him, tell him he's either got to pay me or he's got to give it back. So Peter, the contractor, called the delivery guy who said, oh, I'm really sorry. I can't put any money towards it. I'll have to bring it back. So that night, Gillian is thinking about this. And this is what you can do with your thoughts. She started obsessing about it, and she almost got to the point where she felt that the contractor, Peter, and the delivery man were in on this together. That's how paranoid she got. Mm-hmm. And that's when she realized, wow, I've got to stop. I've got to step back and suspend judgment. Maybe there's something bigger going on here than I realize. And even if I sold the sofa on my own, I'd have to do it on eBay. I probably wouldn't make that much money after you factor in my time. So maybe there's something bigger happening here. The next morning, she called Peter, and she said, I tell you what, tell this man who has my sofa that if he enjoys it half as much as I did, I'll be very happy.
Aww.
And, you know, Peter said, what are you saying, that you believe the sofa has a destiny? She said, okay, maybe I am. 2 days later, she got a call from Peter, and Peter said, you won't believe this. The man who has your sofa couldn't afford to pay anything because his wife is battling cancer, and all of their money has gone to medical bills. And thanks to you and this sofa, he was able to give her a Valentine's Day gift that she will never forget.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow.
When you suspend judgment, you step back from the current level of energy that you're in, and you allow another point of view to come forth. I'm sure our listeners all over the world are familiar with Star Trek, the original series.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of those episodes, Captain Kirk is trying to fight off this big blob in outer space. So what does he do? He starts firing phasers at it to destroy it. But the more firepower he gives it, the bigger the blob gets. And it's the same thing with your choices and your energy. The more energy you pour into one particular reality, the bigger it's going to get. And that's what Jillian did. She was so focused on, oh, my God, they're in this together. They were out to swindle me out of my own sofa. The more real that became to her. So think about all the places in your life where you are channeling a very specific reality, and that's all you think about. Well, guess what? You're going to create more of it. You are that powerful.
Wow. And the thing that I think is so intriguing about what you're saying, and I think this is where the quantum part comes in, is I think a lot of people get that if you're in a bad mood and, you know, maybe this technique would help you not be in a bad mood at that moment in time, but you're actually going farther than that, and you're saying that when you turn it around, you're actually changing the future that you that's going to happen to you. So it's not just that, okay, I you know, overcame this obstacle, but that you're directly impacting the opportunities that will come your way. Can you say more about that? That's just fascinating.
Well, and it's really important because I don't talk about in this book, it's not about learn how to be in high energy all the time and your life will be perfect.
Right.
That's not reality. And the more you force something, the more forced results you're going to get. So what's important about this type of approach to life is that you embrace the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and in doing that, a portal opens that moves you into whole new expanded realities. So this isn't about getting to the top of the mountain, finding that perfect Zen place and peace and holding it.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of our deepest learnings comes in the black hole. Some of our deepest pain is there, but some of our biggest learning is also there. So it's just understanding, it's being conscious of how your thoughts are creating your life that rolls out in front of you. And once you start understanding what triggers you into a bad mood, what triggers you into more bad moods, it's like it gives you the key to start unlocking the patterns that have kept you down, that have kept you from getting that dream job or kept you from meeting that perfect partner. You start really shifting the way that you live.
Mm-hmm. And you also say, I think this is interesting, that when you're in those places, you're in a bad mood, and, you know, maybe you're worried about how something's going to turn out, and a person may feel, you know, I do this, I think most people do, you know, which way is this going to go? And this idea that you have to somehow figure it out. And you say that believing is a choice. And I think most of us feel like, that they're either this is either going to go one way or the other way, and I have to figure it out. But you're saying something different, that one, you can make a choice to believe, and second, that that choice may actually impact the outcome of whatever it is that you're so worried about.
Yes, it's really important to be very clear on your intention of what it is you're trying to create, but then get out of the way. Mm. Focus on the what, not the how. An example that I give in the book, a friend of mine was turning 40, and she very much wanted to have children, and her biological clock was ticking. And so she started dating really inappropriate men that just weren't good for her, because she felt, I've got to get married, I've got to find a partner so that I can have a baby. Well, after some really disastrous choices of men that were just giving her more of what she didn't want, that's what she drew to her in those choices. She said, wait a minute, I want the child, I'm just going to adopt. And so she adopted a beautiful, beautiful baby girl. And what do you think happened? Within 3 months, she was at daycare, and she met her future husband. Mm. So her intention was she wanted to be married and have a baby. And when she got out of the way of it, it came to her in a way that she would have never planned.
Wow.
So often we think when we are setting a goal, we get really micromanaging the details of how it's going to happen. And you have this picture in your mind of how it will be when you have that perfect job and what your life will look like. When you do that, you start restricting and you start closing doors on all of the hundreds of potential ways this could come to you. So be very clear on what you want, but then ask yourself, am I restricting myself on the how it comes in? It's just like when you hear a girlfriend say, oh, I want to meet a perfect guy. And he's got to be 6'2", he has to have dark hair, and, a laundry list 20 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
Each time you start getting into that kind of detail, you are, in essence, shutting doors of possibilities. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean you can't be clear on what you like and don't like, but just don't try to control how it comes to you. And that can be very hard because we rush to judgment. We do premature evaluation all the time where we think we know why something is happening, when in reality an entirely different scenario can be happening.
Mm. And it's similar to what you say in the book when you say, when your intention is clear, the field quickly starts pulling things together. And you say that some people call this synchronicity. I call it playing the quantum field. What do you mean by that?
Well, I view the quantum field as the place of pure potential. It's where all of the energy, all of the essence, source, God, whatever it is in your belief system, it's the plane of pure potential. That's what the quantum field is. And your thoughts act like beacons that bring it in. One way to look at it is think of it as a cosmic eBay. You can go online and order anytime. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's equal opportunity. Anybody can place that order. The second you place the order, the quantum field starts creating that for you. But you will miss it if you're focused particularly on, I wanted a car, and you had a perfect vision that it was going to be a white car. So a brown car comes available, and you let it pass you by because it wasn't perfect. It's about understanding that once you place that order on that cosmic eBay, the quantum field starts pulling it together for you.
Wow.
So I use that metaphor because you don't need to understand quantum physics to understand how the nature of the quantum field is. We are all energy, our beings, we're all connected to energy. And when you start understanding life in terms of that flow, it connects you into a much bigger way of living.
Mm-hmm.
So then once you become conscious of the choices you're making and the frequency that they're operating at, it gives you much more freedom in creating the life that you really want to make.
Yeah, and it seems like part of what you're saying is, when you try to step away from controlling it, and that in some ways that desperate need to control how things are going to happen or on my terms, rather than just setting the attention or, as you're saying, placing the order – can sometimes interfere, and that control seems to be one of the really low energy thing that obstructs the easy flow into our life. And you talk a lot about the difference between power versus force.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say some more about that?
Sure. You know, it's very hard in the world that we live in not to be operating in force, because it's what gets results. We have we have short periods of time that we need to get things done in. We're all multitasking. And so we think if we're more focused and more forceful, we'll get more done. But that is not the case. And in many ways, that can wear you down. A work example of this is I once had the most gifted salesperson running a particular region for me, and he was fabulous. But he was a really awful administrator. He was very good at selling, but he never got in his forecasts and his reports. And my boss, the CEO, was very upset because his profit center was so large, it was throwing off the projections for the shareholders. So every month I'd go down to Texas and I'd see this gentleman and I'd say, great job, way to go. But you know what? You're not getting these reports to me. Will you get that in next week? Sure, Brenda, no problem. I'd land in Chicago and no report. Go down to Texas, have the same conversation again, only this time saying, look, this isn't optional. This is a requirement of your job. I need this. Get it in. Sure, Brenda, yeah. I get back to Chicago, no report. Finally, the light bulb went off, and I realized I was operating at a frequency that was very much about fear and control. I was in fear because my boss was mad at me. I was trying to get him to toe the line from that same frequency. And once I realized it, I just stepped back and I thought, what's my intention? My intention is to make him the best he can be and happy at his job. So the next time I went to Texas, we sat down and talked, and I said, look, I know you hate doing these reports. I hate asking you for it. Here's the deal. You contribute so much to the company's profits. When you don't do the report, it makes me look bad, and it doesn't serve you either. So how can we work together to get this done? And within 2 minutes, he came up with a solution that I would have never thought of. As I flew home from Texas that day, before the airplane touched the ground, that report was in my office. That's the difference between working in power versus force. Ask yourself, where in your life are you stuck in force? Is it with your teenage children? Is it with people that work for you that no matter, you know, how much you tell them how to do it, they can't get it right? When you're operating in power, it's effortless because you're operating at a higher frequency that creates bigger results. When you're operating in force, you're operating out of fear, and you're just creating more fear in all of your scenarios.
Is there something, someone that recognizes, say, like, oh, I'm obviously working from force in this situation, is there a quick fix for switching over to power and a higher energy?
Great question. Ask yourself, what situations in my life are my emotions not commensurate with the situation?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say that again. Ask yourself, what situations in your life where your emotions are not commensurate to the situation? If you fly off the handle because of some domestic thing that happens in your house with your husband, and that triggers you off, chances are you're operating in force. So wherever your reaction, your emotional reaction, is just way out of touch with the fact that he forgot to make the coffee that morning, mm-hmm. that's where you look, where you're operating in force.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your first sign. So ask yourself, where is that happening in my life right now? Where do I have a really short fuse?
Wow. So it almost sounds like what you're saying is that you're operating from force when the issue of being in control is more important than solving the actual problem.
Yes, that's a very nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, now one thing I was also very interested in, you talk about how this thing called tapping the truth is another way to invite in this higher energy. But you say something that's surprising. You say, and after you tap into the truth, you have to hang out in the unknown. And that seems very difficult. Difficult to do. So could you first say, what is tapping the truth, and why do you have to hang out in the unknown, and what does that do for you?
Well, tapping the truth is essentially when you tap into the power of just being honest. It's amazing what happens. And by that I mean white lies. You can't tell white lies. You by omitting things, that's another form of white lies. Oftentimes we don't tell people the truth because we feel they can't handle it. We feel we'll hurt their feelings. We feel that it will make the situation worse. And when you tap the truth and you're operating from a place in your heart of tapping the truth, not being hurtful, it will always shift the situation to the positive. If you're coming at it from the point of addressing your truth and not coming from it and trying to control the outcome of what that is. And what I mean by hanging in the gap, I'll share another work example. I had a client once that really did not like working with our CEO of the company. In fact, they told me, if you make us go into more meetings with your CEO, we're going to pull the account. So they wanted her off. How did I go into the CEO's office and say, look, the client doesn't want you? Especially in this case, the CEO was very controlling, very high-powered, and very emotional. And hanging out in that place of the gap is when you go in and you lay out your truth and then you don't try to rescue it. So what I did was I went in, I said, look, this is uncomfortable for me. I thought of not addressing it, hoping it would go away. How many of us have done that with a hard situation?
Yeah.
And I said, here's the deal. The client does not want to work with you on this project. I know the company wants to keep the client. I want to keep you happy. What other scenarios can we look at? My palms were sweating. I was very uncomfortable. And the initial reaction was one of anger. So I just came back to the truth again and said, here is what we want to accomplish. And after three rounds of that, and that's what I mean by you hang in that place, you hang in that gap, finally they understood and said, okay, all right, now I'm hearing you. What are we going to do to solve this? So it's not comfortable. I wanted to say, let me do this. I'll just take it off your plate, and I know you mean well. I wanted to come in and rescue the situation, and especially with women, we're very quick to do that because of the way we're wired and what we do with our families. And men, of course, can do that as well. But when you're saying the truth, you're saying it because it's coming from your heart, not because you're trying to get something from it. And sometimes you need to put it out there and then hang.
Yeah.
And wait for it to come back to you. And that's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Walking out of that office, I thought, oh no, after they've had time to think about what I said, then they're gonna pull my bonus. They're gonna make choices that affect me. That can be difficult. But you need to do it for the situation to sort itself out.
Mm.
And remember, truth operates at one of the highest frequencies possible. So if you're operating from that energetic frequency, if someone comes back in anger, they're just meeting that issue at a much lower frequency. It's really not even about you.
Right.
And so you just have to stand in your power of where your conviction is,
mm-hmm.
and then not judge what comes in.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds, hard to do, but I it's important to recognize that and get this idea that when you're at that high level of frequency, you're inviting in a higher frequency to come back to you.
Well, and try it in small ways. Don't try it with your boss right out of the gate. Try it at home. Try it in little ways with your girlfriends. When they ask your opinion on something, give back an honest, loving answer. Start in little ways and experiment and see how you feel, see how the situation shifts. And then as you build up your confidence, you can start having these kinds of discussions in important relationships or with your children. But practice on the small stuff first till you build up your confidence.
Oh, that's a great point. Well, Brenda, that was very enlightening. Can you tell listeners where they can find you or your book?
Yes, the book is called Playing the Quantum Field, How Changing Your Choices Can Change Your Life. And you can buy it in bookstores near you. It's also on Amazon.com. It's on Amazon.uk. You can also go to my website, which is quantumties.com. QUANTUMTIES.com.
Well, thank you so much, Brenda.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Oh, good. This is Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb of VisionarySoul.com. Thank you.